recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's daf in Masechet Nivdah brought to you by Bein Chomot Yerushalayim Ha'olechet V'Nivneit is daf Nun Gimel. We're holding on to two dots. Actually, there are no two dots, even though there should be. We're holding at the Tana Rabbana, three lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbana, Haro'e Keter. Now you'll recall that yesterday in our Mishnah we spoke about the Machloket Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about whether we're chayish for zivas in a ketem, and that actually turns out that it's not shayach that there would be zivot from a ketem. Certainly, if there were three separate begadim on three separate days, and she was motzei a ketem, then we would consider the begadim to be a raya to a ketem. But the machloket is if we find on the single beged a riya that is large enough to be mechuleket into three parts, then over there the question is, is it going to be looked at as three separate days or three separate riyas, or are we going to leave it as a suffix?
Can you clarify, the Rabbanan?
Yeah. Ketem is the Rabbanan, but there are places where we would have to be, we have a clear raya that there were three separate days of this.
So that would make that the Ketem.
Well, this is the question. When we were talking about Lovsha, Reb Chanina ben Atignas' case, Lovsha Shloisha Chalukais Bedukais Lo. So over there, we said we would have thought that in that case it was a D'oraisa. That was a Schiddush, right? Remember, take a look on the Daf, on the previous Daf, on Amid Beis. Remember, I think it's very important to get this straight originally, okay? So the Gemara says, according to Reb Chanina ben Atignas, if Lovsha Shloisha Chalukot Abdukot Lo, Umatza Aleyem Ketem, Osharata Shnei Yamim V'Chaluk Echad. Remember, we asked, it's a little bit ridiculous to need to say Shnei Yamim Re'iya when Yom Echad Ketem. So over there, why did he have to say it? Answer the Gemara, because Ma'od Atema, it would even be a Zavad Yoraita in that case, because we know that she bled. Kamarjman, even in that case, it's not a Zavad Yoraita. So ketamim are never going to be a dioraita zivas. They'll just be a drabbanan zivas. Drabbanan in the sense of a hashash. In other words, we won't be able to eat. She'll bring a korban chatas, which is not a problem, because none of it actually goes on the mizbeach. There's no kulim lazor. But on the other hand, the kayanim cannot eat it, because we have a hashash that the malika made it in the veil, because she wasn't really chayeva. So that we were mazber yesterday. And that's exactly the reason we brought in this whole case, that even a third Re'iyah as a Ketem is not going to turn her into a Zavad Yoraita, that's for sure. Now, today the question is whether we even have to be Chayish, that if there was a Re'iyah, remember, the din is if there was a Re'iyah ben Hashmashes, so then we have to be Chayish to be Mechalik that Re'iyah. So we don't know, it's Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. So maybe part of this Re'iyah was Beyayim, part of this Re'iyah was Belayah. If it was, so then that would count for two separate days. Now, the question is whether that issue we'd have to take into consideration, the Gabi Ketem. Because remember, the reason that we're looking for a shear on this Ketem, to split it into 3 days, is not because there's a shear of Re'iyah, Legabe Zivas. There's no shear. The only reason we're looking for shear is to include in the din of Ketamim that it's not we're not totally it on a Dam Ma'acholet. That's all. It's the only reason. Once it's a kigris of oath, we say it didn't come from a louse, we have to be chayish, it's from her. Fine. But once that's true, then even if we have two re'iyas of a ketem, we don't know when they were from. How do we know one of them wasn't ben hashmashes, she was wearing this beged ben hashmashes? So then why do you say you need three? Until now we've been assuming it's never poshet. According to Rabbanan, you need enough for three re'iyas on this beged. But if we're chayish for the zivas bitzat ketem, again, the Rabbanan obviously, why aren't we also chayish for a ketem that came out ben hashmashes? I mean, you could be machalik into two parts, because the gabi that didn't vary, you could be machalik in as many parts as you want. It's only once we've established it's not dam ma'acholet, which we have. So now let's be machmir. That's today's sugya. So Tana Rabbanan Haro Eketa Im Yesh Bo Kedei L'Chalek Shlosha Grisim in a way that would give you a Chigris V'od three separate times. So then she has to be Choseshet Bini Choseshet for Zivas Gedoyla. She's Choseshet that she's a Zava Gedoyla. V'imla V'ena Choseshet. But the Rabbanan here, the Tanakama say, if you don't have enough for three separate days, forget it. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Agra Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. What makes you say that? Achatzu v'achatzu, even if you only have enough to split it 2 days, she would be chosheshet. Because you have to worry about bein hashmashas. So why did we come up with the whole idea of needing three separate bedikas? So it's the three separate riyas. Two is enough.
One which counts as two and one.
Right, one which counts as two is one. Exactly. I mean, it could count as two either the first night or the second night. Either way. But we have no idea what happened. Okay, so now let us keep in mind, remember we do this every time in the Gemara that Rebbe comes up with a statement like this. We never got it through our heads what he means to say. And we always think originally that when Rebbe says, Nirin divrei X, mi divrei Y, in case A, and divrei Y from divrei X, in case B, we always make the mistake of thinking that Rebbe is taking out part of X's words and part of Y's words and paskening like that middle sheet. He never means that, but the Gemara always thinks he means that. In the end, what he means is nearing divrei X to divrei Y, because they never argued about that. And nearing divrei Y to divrei X, because they never argued about case B. Fine.
Agreed.
What he's really coming to say is that they end up in Maida. We've seen this many times. But let's start again doing our thing. We're going to pretend that Rebbe is being machriya the halacha partially like Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra and partially like the Rabban. Okay? So now, comes on Rebbe and he says, listen, you know, what Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra said makes a lot of sense to me. That's what we think it means. In a case where she wasn't bodekas herself, bein hashmashot. So if she wasn't bodekas bein hashmashot, so she doesn't know, maybe her ketem came bein hashmashot. And it's nearing the divrei chachamim, and we don't have to worry about ziva in a case where she was bodekas herself. Now, the implications, again, if we are correct in our misapprehension of Rebbe, that he's trying to paskin, like partially, like Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra, and partially like the chachamim, so then the implications are that actually Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra would argue across the board, even if she was bodekas atzma, but I only think he makes sense where she was bodekas atzma. And the Chachamim would have argued across the board, even when she wasn't bodekas atzma, but I think we should pass like them when she was bodekas atzma. That's what it sounds like he's saying. In fact, that can't be what he's saying, and it never can be what he's saying, because it always ends up in a contradiction in Rebbe, as we'll see. Fine. Okay, so first of all, let's figure out what the case is when we're talking about bedikah, because I'm not quite sure I understand the bedikah. I understand the general sense. The general sense is that she was bodekas herself during the bein hashmashot, so that she knew she didn't see dam during bein hashmashot. The ketem couldn't have been from bein hashmashot, right? Now, obviously, if that's the case, then nobody could possibly say we could split one riyah into two. We know she didn't have a riyah bein hashmashot. So something's very fishy over here. So therefore, we need to insert a new issue that would allow us to understand how there could be a machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra, even if she was bodekas herself. And nonetheless, there should be a chashash that maybe it's a zava gedela, and we should be machalik at l'shtei riyas. And how it could be that the chachomim would say even if she wasn't bodekas herself. So we're looking for a kuntz. Okay. Here's the kuntz. The kuntz is very simply this. There's two definitions of bein hashmashot. So kishabatka tatzma could be she was bodekas herself in one definition but not the other. And then the machloket would be which bein hashmashot is the real bein hashmashot. That's a simple way of understanding it. Now, we know there's a machloket between Rebbe Yehuda and between Rebbe Yossi as to when bein hashmashot takes place. So Rebbe Yehuda says bein hashmashot is a long period. It's a machlokas in the Gemara of what that period is, whether it's kedei to be mahalach 2/3 of a meal, or whether it's 3/4 of a meal. Those are the different shittas. We have 18 minutes, 22 minutes, and so on. But whatever it is, it's more than a chatzi meal. Rashi says if you're a chatzi meal, the Gra changes the girsa in brachas, that same Rashi, that it means yoter mechatzi meal. That way it includes both shittot. Fine. Rabbi Yossi says that ben hashmashot is instantaneous. So it's a moment in which the yom is yotzei and the lilas nichnas. Right now we're assuming that the ben hashmashot of Rabbi Yossi begins instantly after Rabbi Yehuda's ben hashmashot ends. Now the truth is there's a machloket about that, because there's also a shita that says that Rabbi Yossi's ben hashmashot is included as the last moment of Rabbi Yehuda's ben hashmashot. Let us ignore that approach right now. And let us assume they are two completely separate zmanim. Rabbi Yehuda's zman ends, Rabbi Yossi begins.
Rabbi Yossi, it's just a 1 minute.
Fine, but you can check during that minute. Good. So now, here would be the way that we could possibly make it work out. Because Rava said, I came into the Beis HaMedrash, and everybody was going crazy over this. What could it mean? How could it be a machlokas? If she was Bodeket HaTzvah, what's the chash? If she wasn't Bodeket HaTzvah, obviously there's a chash. So I walked into the Beis HaMedrash, and I found that the Rabbonin were discussing this, the Veirad, and they came up with the following pshat, the Yad Vivekavri. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about Achmai Eskinan, she was Bodeket herself, Ben HaShmashot. But she didn't look at the clothes she was wearing. She used the bedika cloth, stuck it in, and didn't look and see maybe there was something from before on her clothing. She didn't look at her clothing. Her chalukah, she was only bodeket later. Okay? So, shbatka, tzma, velo batka, chalukah. 3 days later, she checked her clothes. Now, afatzma lo batka, and when she did this bedika of herself, of her body, she was only bodeket during the period of Ben HaShmashot of Rabbi Yehuda. But she was not bodeket after that in the Ben HaShmashot of Rabbi Yossi. Lo batka. So that would explain the machlokas. If the Rabbanan hold that the Ben HaShmashot of Rabbi Yossi is already the next day, fine. So if that's the case, there's no way to split it up into 2 days. Maybe she saw earlier. No, she checked herself during the Ben HaShmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, and she didn't see any dam there. Right? Okay. So they all, therefore, how could there be a chash of zivas? Please make room. How could there be a... When you come in with the tefillin, just set them over there. So therefore, what could be the chash? There's no chash. Vabotka, b'bein ha-shvashis Rabbi Yehuda. Now, since Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is quoting Rabbi Yossi, right? Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. So obviously, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is going to be machmir in the Ben HaShmashot of Rabbi Yossi. And he's going to say, since Alibet Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi L'taymeh, Yomar Ben HaShmashot is a sveika, even after of the time of the Rabbi Yehuda. And Mamela, you'd have to be chayish. Could you move over to allow our president a little bit of room here? You have the whole table to yourself. And therefore, we understand what the machlokas is. Now, I said to them, this makes no sense to me. What do you mean? She was bodeket herself during the Ben HaShmashot of Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, how do you... She sticks in a bedika cloth, takes it out to look at it, and how does she know that the minute that she takes it out, she didn't start bleeding? What kind of rye is it that she didn't see dam just because she checked herself?
Ben HaShmashot continues.
Ben HaShmashot continues. Mm-hmm. So I said to them, you know, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Had she kept her fingers stuck in with this bedika, the entire Ben HaShmashot, then I would understand what you're saying. But if you're telling me she checked herself during the Ben HaShmashot of Rabbi Yehuda, what is that supposed to prove? Maybe she was Re'adam the moment she took out her hand. And obviously, they explained to him, this is what we call the Mochtachu. Va'amruli, and they said to him, well, of course, that's what we're talking about. She kept her finger in with the Bedika, or what we do, the Mochtachu, the whole time. And therefore, there's no Chashash of Aria Ben HaShmashot at all. Because we know the entire Ben HaShmashot, her Bedika cloth comes out clean. Now the Shaila is, but she took it out a minute early before Rabbi Yossi's was finished. So, Rabbi Yossi, we hold, is Laila Vadai. So there's no problem. Even if she saw it, was it the wrong day? You couldn't be Mechalik into two Riyads. Masha'in came. If you hold like Rabbi Yossi, so then now you have a Suffolk. Since you have a Suffolk, maybe half of it was at the beginning and half of it was at the end, and therefore part of it is for Yom Beit and part of it is for Yom Gimel. And now she becomes a Suffolk. And let me tell her Suffolk. Very simple, straightforward explanation of the Machloket. Okay, excellent. It works out beautifully because Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says that he's quoting Rabbi Yossi. So it makes sense that those who argue on him are going according to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. Wonderful. Now, what messes us up is Rebbe. Not really, but the way we think Rebbe. Because remember, we think that Rebbe is trying to pick and choose part of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra and part of the Rabban. So now let's examine what Rebbe said, and we're going to see we run into trouble. Oh, my Rebbe. Near and give Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra b'shalo batka. Now, what does that mean, b'shalo batka? My lo batka. Meaning that she was bodeket in Rebbe Yehuda v'lo batka but Rebbe Yossi. I mean, how could that be? I hold of what he says only in that case. In other words, he himself holds even in both cases? You're telling me that according to Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra himself, that Afa gav the Bodka b'tarvayu chayisha? That even if she's bodeket both in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, she would be chayishish. That's crazy. She was bodek. What's the chashash that she was roya during that time? And you're saying she kept her finger in the whole time? So that can't be what it means. Okay. You understand where this is going. It's obvious that he's going to run into a contradiction once we think that he's saying we're going to pick and choose. There's no way it can work. In the end, it's going to have to be that he's pointing out what the machlokes is, basically, and where they would agree with each other. So don't get confused by this. It's obvious where we're heading. So Elapshita, if our approach in Rebbe is correct, that when he said, Nirin de Rebbe Yehuda, kishalobatka, it means kishalobatka at all. The lobatka lob the Rebbe Yehuda, v'lob the Rebbe Yossi. Then I hold of him. Because obviously, I mean, then you do have to be chashish. But had she been Batka, meaning, if she had been Batka only in Rebbe Yehuda and not in Rebbe Yossi, I hold that the Ben Ashrash's Rebbe Yossi is Laila. That's my opinion. So therefore, in that case, I would not agree with Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra. Because if just because she wasn't Bodeket, Rebbe Yossi doesn't leave any Chashash, what would that imply about Rebbe's personal not? So Alma, that Ben Ashmash is a Rebbe Yossi, L'Rebbe, I'll leave it, a Rebbe is a Laila. Which, of course, the way we've explained it, is exactly what the Rabbanan hold. Good. So here he seems to be paskening straight out, like the Rabbanan. Okay. So now how do we understand the Sefer? Ema Sefer. And I hold, again, this is a mistake, but we think he means, and I hold that the part of the Rabbanan that discusses a case of Batka, that part is true. Okay, let's try to analyze that. I hold of the Divrei Chachamim Kisha Batka. Now, tell me what you mean by Batka. If you mean that you were Batka ben Rebbe Yehuda, and you were not Kodek ben Rebbe Yossi, what would that mean? That the Rabbanan hold, even though you didn't Batka at all? I mean, what would be this for? The Father Rabbanan Tzavri Apapi to lo Batka b'tarvayu lo chayshina. Why would we not be chayish? Halo batka. Elapshita. I know. Elapshita. The batka. Bein ben Rebbe Yehuda, u bein ben Rebbe Yossi. The only possible meaning is that she was bodeket. She was bodeket in both. That's the pshat. That's the, when he's saying, I hold, if you were bodek in both, then I hold the chachot, that there's no chashash. So then what does that mean? Then that means that if you weren't Beidik in both, and you were only Beidik in Rebbe Yehuda and not in Rebbe Yossi, then you would have to worry. But Rebbe just said a minute ago that that's when you don't have to worry. So now it's saying that Alma ben Ashmoshot de Rebbe Yossi, le Rebbe would be a suffix. So then that means Kasha de Rebbe Yad de Rebbe. Now again, the Gemara always does this just to make it clear what Rebbe is saying. Once you saw those words, you know they can't be true. We're led inexorably down to understanding that Rebbe could not possibly, in a case where there were the additional two variables, there's no possible way that he could be saying such a thing, because he'll always end up contradicting himself, okay? Kash the Rebbe had a Rebbe. Therefore, what Rebbe really must mean, as we knew from the beginning, is Hachikama. Nearing Divrei Rebbi Yehuda ben Agra, not to me, nearing Divrei Rebbi Yehuda ben Agra to everybody, even to the Rabbonin. The Rabbonin also agree to Rebbi Yehuda ben Agra that you have to be chayish, that just two k'tamim are enough to make a rezov a gedayla, in a case where lo batka klal, meaning lo batka, lo bit Rebbi Yehuda, lo bit Rebbi Yosi, because even the Chachomim didn't argue on that case. She'af ha'chachomim lo nechleku alav. The only place where they were arguing is the case where she was bodeket bit Rebbi Yehuda, and not bodeket bit Rebbi Yosi, because the Chachomim hold Rebbi Yosi is night. Who cares if she wasn't bodeket as night? But eked lo batka klal, if she didn't do any bedika, of course the Chachomim would be meida that then you have to worry to be splitting a one keter would be split into two, and therefore two ketamim could be 3 days. Okay, now let us look at the following statement in a brighter, which seems to contradict what we just said. Vrami, haroe keter, someone who is roe keter. So if it's a Ria Meruba, she has to be Choshesht. If it's a Ria Muetet, in a Choshesht. So if there's enough here for 3 separate days, then you have to be Chayish. But if there's only enough for 2 days, then you don't have to be Choshesht. Zudivir Yudiman Agra, Shomer Mishum Rabbi Yosef. And Rebbe says, I don't know how you could say that. I personally heard from Rabbi Yossi. Ani shamati mimenu she'achat zo v'achat zo choshesheh. You have to be chayesh either way, even if it's only two. U'minatam hazeh amar li, and he explained to me why. He said to me like this. U'ma ilu nida shelo yifrisha betara min haminich v'lamara. Let me ask you something. A woman was re'adah during her Yemei Nidah, nothing to do with Zivas. She's now in Nidah for the next 7 days. She checks herself the morning of the 7th day. And now at night she wants to go to the mikveh. She never did a hefsek tira after the Zman of Mincha. Do we allow her to go to the mikveh? No. Why don't we allow her to go to the mikveh? Because as far as we're concerned, there's a chazaka that she's still bleeding. Where did she show us that she wasn't bleeding? So therefore, in that case, if she was lo yifrisha b'tara, min hamincha v'lamala, is it not true that lo tehei b'cheskat tmeiah? Is she not going to have a din of being still anida, and she cannot go to the mikveh that night? So that means that if a woman is roya, so then the entire day is a chashash that she's going to be chozeret v'ro'ah. And the same thing is true over here. If she saw during that day, then she's definitely considered to be Becheskas Tmeya, unless she's Mafsik at the end of the day. Okay. If that's the case, I say that it boils down to the same thing over here. V'nirin lidvarav, and I think he's absolutely correct, that in the case where she was about Deket Atzma, I think he's absolutely, absolutely correct. Nirin dvarav, kesha batka. I agree that if she was bodeket ben hashmashot, that then what Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is saying is correct. That if you only have a ria muetet, and only then you would say that you don't have to be chayish. But like this, in the same way that a woman has a chazaka that she's being roya, you have to assume she's being roya the whole day. So why wouldn't she be roya the whole ben hashmashot? If she was bodkatzma, then I think he's right. Okay, now, let's understand what did Rebbe mean. I think he's right if she was bodeket at that time, that you're not chayish. My batka, what did he mean? Ilema, did he mean batka bid Rebbi Yehuda? For lo batka bid Rebbi Yosi, that I think he's right, then that would mean that what did Rebbi Yehuda ben Agra himself say? The Rebbi Yehuda ben Agra himself would hold that even though she wasn't bodeket at all, not bid Rebbi Yehuda, not bid Rebbi Yosi, that you don't have to be chayish, that the ria is to be split. That's crazy. How could he say that? Halo batka. Ela pshita. What we have to say is that The only reason that Rabbi Yehuda ben Ahakam said that you don't have to be chayish for 2 years is that he was vodka. The vodka bained in Rabbi Yehuda, who bained in Rabbi Yosef. So what would be the din, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Ahakam, if you were bodek ben Rabbi Yehuda and not bodek ben Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi is saying, Bishop Batka, I agree with him. Okay? And we understand that to mean Batka entirely. And Rabbi Yehuda himself was saying, no, Batka only partially, meaning only but Rabbi Yehuda, which of course is a reversal of everything that we said until now. So that would mean that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra holds Batka, but the Rabbi Yehuda below Batka, but Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish. Why? Because Ben Ashwas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is Lila? Didn't we just say that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra said that Rabbi Yosi's Ben Ashmoshos is Suffolk? Not to mention the fact, as Tosis points out, for heaven's sakes, he's quoting Rabbi Yosi. How could he possibly be quoting Rabbi Yosi and yet say that Rabbi Yosi's Ben Ashmoshos is not Ben Ashmoshos? It's lying. The whole thing is crazy. So how are we supposed to interpret this braita? This is nuts. Now, if Rebbe hadn't confused us, okay, Rebbe's driving us crazy over here. Let's say Rebbe hadn't spoken up. So everything would have made perfectly good sense. I mean, Bishop of below Rebbe, if Rebbe hadn't stuck in these words that are so confusing, I would have said, very simple. Where? Hatam the Batka the Rebbe Yehuda below Batka the Rebbe Yosi. The original Braita with the Machlokas Therabanan Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra was exactly the way we said in the Beis HaMedrash. You were Beidik and Rebbe Yehuda, you weren't Beidik and Rebbe Yosi. According to Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra, Rebbe Yosi is a Safek, therefore we have to split the Riyah into two. And according to the Rabbanan, Rebbe Yosi is Vaday Laila, and since the only time we'd have to split it into two is Rebbe Yehuda's Ben HaShmashas, and we know that she was Beidik herself the entire time, and she wasn't right, so how are we Chashash? Everything is fine. So there's no contradiction with Yehuda ben Agra. If she was bodekas herself the whole time, fine. If not, then of course you have to be chayish. It's Rebbe that's getting us totally confused over here. He's introducing an interpretation of Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra that doesn't hold up. So I would have said myself, Hatam the Batka, the Rebbe Yehuda below Batka, the Rebbe Yosi, which is a Suffolk. And this case is talking about where I don't have a Suffolk, where she was bodekas, Nami ben Rebbe Yehuda, and ben Rebbe Yosi. Fine. But now that Rebbe has started to talk about this, when he comes along to explain it, and the only way we can explain it is, as we've just said, that Rebbe Yehuda is talking about that it's the Zman of Rebbe Yehuda is a Suffolk. I mean, and we run into this problem, and we have a contradiction. You're right. Rebbe actually knew that there was a machloket tanoim as to how to define ben hashmashos of Rabbi Yosi. Is Rabbi Yosi's ben hashmashos the end, the last minute of Rabbi Yehuda's ben hashmashos, which means that it's mishach shayach begaveh? It's part of its time, subsumed by that time. If it's subsumed by that time, then if it was bodek during the entire Rabbi Yehuda's ben hashmashos, by definition, it was also bodek during Rabbi Yosi's ben hashmashos. That's what Rebbe is saying. Kishabotka, there's only one Badika. So this is the other Shita in Rebbe Yosi. It's not that he's arguing on Rebbe Yosi, God for sure. He's quoting Rebbe Yosi. And he's not arguing on himself either. Because the Rebbe Yosi that we were talking about before, where we split it up into Rebbe Yehuda's Ben HaShmashas and Rebbe Yosi's Ben HaShmashas, is according to the Ramban Yomar that first the Ben HaShmashas Rebbe Yehuda ends, and then starts the Ben HaShmashas Rebbe Yosi. So then, we end up with a machlokas. Excellent. But if you're going like the other Mandi, how can there be a machlokas? It's the same Medika. That's the point. Therefore, in Rebbe knew that there were two Tanoim. And those two Tanoim quote Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra in different ways. And Rebbe went out of his way to clarify that by saying this whole thing that made us crazy. What are you telling me? It was made us, it ends up with contradiction. Understand? That's going to leave the Tana that holds that Rabbi Yosi's Ben HaShmashas is Meshach Shalach in the Ben HaShmashas of Rabbi Yehuda. So it's Trey Tanoi, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda Ben Agra. Hi, Tana Sovar, first showing Ben HaShmashas of Rabbi Yehuda, and then begins the Ben HaShmashas of Rabbi Yosi. And therefore it's a Sofa. Mashain came here, the Tana holds, Hi, Tana Sovar, that actually Ben Ashmoshes of Rabbi Yossi is part of Mishach Shayach. It's the last minute of Rabbi Yehuda's Ben Ashmoshes. In which case, in the only way to interpret Rabbi Yehuda ben Avra, you can't split it between two different times. There's only one time. So he says, but turn around, Bono.
Ben Ashmoshes is such a calculation.
Ben is the time between Shkia and Tzeta Kochavim. And we're Mesupik, if it's Yom or Lila. So Melech, she was Rea during that time. Could be that part of that Rea had a dinner the previous day, and part of that Rea had a dinner the next day. We don't know. The Machlok is what Ben Ashmoshes is, how long it is, when it begins, and when it ends. All of these things, that's how we get so confused about the Tam Shita, with the Grosh Shita, so on and so forth. But this is not our Shita, not our Sugya right now. We're keeping it very simple. Question of the two types of Ben Ashmoshes. Now, Tana Rabbana, Haro'ah Keter. Now, we did discuss this in the beginning of the Masechta briefly, and now we're getting back to a more complex issue. The complex issue is this. Suppose a Keter is followed by a Re'iyah. In other words, she finds a ketam this morning. She goes ahead and does a bedika. She finds out that she's bleeding. So now the shaila is, does she, in this case, have to be machmer on the ketam from the time that the ketam was on the beggar? Or in this case, can she for sure say that she's only metame mikam lahab? Now, in order to get that, we have to first go back into the sugya of ketam to see whether we're metame this beged and her negia and kachin back to the last time that the beged was checked, or back to the time that she put it on. Right? Okay. So that machlokes we had earlier in the Masecht, we're going to review it now for a moment. Tana Rabbana. Haroa Keta, she's metama atzma, and she's metama kachin lemafreya. So Mamela, she is considered to be Tameya, all the way back to the time that she last washed this bed. Give her Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar says, no, come on, she'll only be Makachim, Matame Kachim. But how can we say that she was Matame herself, Lagabi Tyrus? Makes no sense. If she's Matame herself, Lagabi Tyrus, we're going to say that a ketem is more chomer than an actual re'iyah. If she was re'iyah, so in the first half of the Masechta we said, maximum 24 hours. And that's where she's mamish re'iyah dam d'oraisa. But if it's a ketem, that's the Ramban, it'll be 3 weeks back. Does that make sense to you? Let's say she didn't wash the beged until 3 weeks ago.
Why is she washing the beged again?
Wash, meaning that's the bedika, the beged.
She knew
it was clean. I mean, how could we be more makbid on the ketem, which is a whole gezeira de rabbanan, than we are on an actual riyaz dam? I don't understand. So Tainas, now, the Tanakama Rebbe, is that she's metam herself, lemafreya, up until the Shas Kibos. Whereas Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, nah, kachim, yeah, that she's metam. But atzma, to be metam herself, l'tairas, ain't a metam. It can't be that a ketem is even more chomer than a riyah. And he said, what are you talking about? It can't be. He himself just agreed that it is. When there's a din in Miyat Liyat, is that a din in Chulin? No! That's a din in Kachim. No, and here he's saying that I agree, Kachim, yeah. But Stam Tyrus not. What do you mean Kachim, yeah? Kachim should be Matame 3 weeks ago. I thought you said he can't be Chomer Marietta. So something's wrong with this argument. He himself is saying Kachim is Metama. So obviously we're quoting him wrong. I mean, this is a ridiculous statement the way we quoted him. Ella, it should have said like this. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, she can't be Metama at all more than Miyat Liyat. Even Kachim ain't a Metama. Because how can it be that Kitma should be Chomer Marietta? Loye kitma chamor mariyata for any purpose. The call. whether for Karchim, whether for Tyrus in general. Okay. Now, this leads into the next issue. Turn around, Bob. Rata Ketan, let's say she sees a Ketan, and then she actually bleeds. The Akrakach Rata.
Same day.
We'll see. Whether it's the same day or the same 24 hours. That's a machlok. So now, the din is, she can be Tayla Kitma Beriyata for 24 hours. So if within the next 24 hours of Mitziyata Ketan, she's bleeding, says, ah, that's why I found blood on my bag. It must have been some staining before my actual period. Rav Shimon Elazar says, no. Not all 24 hours. During the same day, up at Toshkia that day, she could be Seimer. Fine. Yomo. Oh, my Rebbe. So Rebbe says, you know, the truth is that what he's saying makes more sense than what I'm saying. You know, I was Makabal, this was the Pshat. But Lamaisa near in Dvarav Nidvarai. I think he makes more sense. You know why? Because look, Tamim are only a Darabbanan. For us to make her crazy on a Darabbanan, to be Machmer on her, why would we be Machmer? He's being Mitakna. He's making life easier on her. And I am making life harder on her. Vanima Afta. What? Just, what are you talking about? Just the opposite. What do you mean Mitakna? He's making her worse. He's saying that, no, she's only got whatever time is left in the day. You're the one that's helping her. You're saying for the next 24 hours she could be Taylor. He's saying, no, maybe it's only 5 minutes. Maybe she found the Ketan now 5 minutes before Shkia. So how can you say he's being Mako? He's being Machmir. Afti move Taylor. He's making life worse for her. Omer Avina, oh God, there's no way to fix this. It's an epoch, turn it backwards. Meaning, either say, I think what I say makes sense because I'm being Mako, or maybe we should be Mapuch and say it the other way around, that it's more Kedai to be Machmir, Taisu suggest. Okay, fine. Omer Avina, epoch. Rav Nachman says, no. What's the ultimate evus for this woman? The ultimate evus for this woman is that she should become a Zava. That's a real problem. Then she's going to have to keep Shivas Nakiyim, Suffolk Karbonas. That's evus. If you consider the entire situation, it turns out that Rabbi Shimon is making life easier on her. Why is that? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, since Lamaisa, she cannot start counting her nidais until the next day, the second day after the Re'iyah of the Ketam. Because he's saying you cannot include the Ketam of the previous day in the Re'iyah of the next day. Right? Okay, so then that means that her nidais, let's say she found the Ketam on Sunday, and she starts bleeding early Monday. So according to Rebbe, when would she start counting her nidais? Sunday. Because the Ketam is a riot that she was bleeding on Sunday.
Within 24 hours.
But then that would mean that after she finishes the Shivas Yemei Nida, she starts now counting already her Zivas on the next Sunday. So now if she sees Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, she's going to be a Zava Gedolah. According to Rabbi Shimon, she's only going to start counting her Zivas on Monday. So if she sees Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, she's only a Zava Ketana, and she's not Metame Shiva for Shivas Nikiyah. Because since, according to Rabbi Shimon, you cannot be Taylor the Ketan Beriyata, so that means that this Re'iyah is unrelated to that Ketan. That Ketan remains only a Darabbanan Ketan. Obviously, she can't start counting from that Ketan. You're not going to be Mekel Midarabbanan. So according to him, it turns out that her Nidas ends a day later. If her Nidas ends a day later, then bleeding at the end was not Bimei Zivas, it was Bimei Nidas. Is in the end, she's being Mekel on her because of him. And that's a much bigger kula to be Mekel for Zivas than to stam extend her Nidas for an additional day. Therefore, I think he's right. Why should we make her life crazy? Legabi Shivas Nekiyim and Suffolk Karbonas, that's a disaster. Better to make her a little bit of tzaras for an extra day of Nidas. Now, this is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos is outraged by this pshat. Why? For the obvious reason. What Rashi is saying is that Aliba, Rebbe, who's saying we can be Taylor, Kitma Beriyata, he's saying that din not stam, that you don't have to worry about the Ketan being Metame the Beget 3 weeks ago. That's not what he's saying. He's saying even worse than that. He's saying if you're going to be Tela Kitma Beriata, then that means that you're assuming that her bleeding began the day before because of her Ketam. Even the Gavi counting Shivas, you may need a theorizer. That's crazy. Who gave you the right to say such a thing? So just because you found the Ketam and later on you find out that she's bleeding, 100% sure that she was bleeding yesterday. Are you going to be making on the Diraisa? Is she going to sleep with her husband at the end of 7 days and be over at an Issacharis? Who ever heard of such a thing? How can we rely on a Ketam to start counting the Yemei Nidus? And the way Rashi's learning, that's the only way to understand the Sugya. It's impossible. Therefore, Tainis Rabbeinu Hanana, we're talking about over here, that she found the Ketam on the day of the Re'iyah. Same day. According to Rebbe, now she's got a problem. Because since he's Tela, the Re'iyah in the Kitma, and now it's Komi 8 late, she sees the next day. So, yes, but suppose now it's as if the period of Re'iyah, according to Rebbe, extends for 24 hours. Because he's saying this, I'm looking at this as a Re'iyah starting at the Metziat HaKetem and ending 24 hours later. No, if that's the case, then we have to view this as if she was bleeding for 2 days. So according to this, if you're counting the Yom HaRe'iyah and 24 hours before, so then if she sees yet the third day, then it would be, if she's during Yemei Zivot, then she would be a Zavah Gedeah. This is also creates a tremendous problem to say that they were geyser, that 24 hours means that it's a re'iyah for 24 hours. Okay, but anyway, I'm just raising the point that I'll leave it to Rashi. We're going to see that Rashi is consistent in the next piece of Gemara with the Shita. I'll leave it to Rashi. We're actually looking at the Ketem as the time to start the count of her nidus. Okay, so let's take a look. Let me just, I didn't say this inside. The Hebrew Nachman on the Yodel Lo Tepo, because he's mitakein ilchotea in terms of zivas, and I am ma'avet ilchotea in terms of zivas. Okay, we have the tube shut now. Boy mine Reb Zeira mi Reb Asi. Do k'tamim require a hefsek taira or not? Ishtik v'lo omar lei, he refused to answer. Now, what does this mean? Do they need a hefsek taira? So listen once again to Rashi's pshat. Rashi is consistent with the pshat that he just said. And therefore he says like this. Does it require a hefsek taira of the woman who goes and does a bedika to see if she's taira, starting her count from the day that she found the ketan, even though she only started bleeding on the next day? So in her own mind, she trusted Rebbe's psak that she could start counting from the first day, the day of her ketam.
Which was within
24 hours of her re'iyah. So what about if she didn't? What about if she started, she doesn't know from Rebbe. She thinks a ketam is a ketam, it's metamalim afriya, a re'iyah is a re'iyah. She thinks like Taisus. She's machmira. So she thinks, no, I'm not going to rely on my ketam for anything. So she only makes her hefsek taira on the eighth day, meaning the seventh day of her re'iyah. Rashi believes that the Gemara is asking like this. In order to be semich on Revi's pshat, does she have to believe in it? Or not? Meaning, do we have to see her acting as if her re'iyah actually went back to the first day when she found the ketam? Or it really doesn't matter what she's thinking, it only matters the reality of when the ketam was within 24 hours of the re'iyah. An amazing pshat. Of course, Tosfos says, what kind of crazy pshat? Again, first of all, it's based on this business about being able to count from the re'iyah of the ketam. And how would we be making up to such a thing? And not to mention the fact that it should be dependent on whether she believes in it or not.
She's only,
in other words, since she started counting only, she was mafsik b'taira only from 7 days from her re'iyah, so she, because of that, was mafsik her halacha, and now her ketam is going to be metami back to the last kibbutz, because she treated it like a ketam. So this we're going to see now, according to Rashi, is a machloket. But in any event, he refused to answer. He didn't say anything. He didn't answer. Now, Zimnin Ashkechei, one time, Rabbi Zeira found Rabbi Asi, who was sitting in the base of Medrash and was saying over the halacha like this. Tayla kitma b'riyata mi'eit la'eit, divrei Rebbe. Squirted Rebbe. Keten, you can rely on 24 hours. If there's a re'i anytime in the next 24 hours, then the ketem is a stain from this period. That's what we're assuming. The Amar Reish Lakish. Oh, but that's only if she was bodeket at atzma. Again, according to Rashi. Only if she was bodeket at atzma on the end of the seventh day from the ketem. Mitziata ketem. Rabbi Yochanan says, who cares what she believes? The bottom line is that this ketem is not going to be metame lemafreya le'et ha'kibus, because that's the halacha. Whether she believes in it or not, I don't care if she was bodeket on that day, or if she was bodeket the next day. What do I care what she thinks? Anyway, Rabbi Zeira hears Rabbi Asi saying this. He says, but Rabbi, what you're saying is that both Rabbi Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are meida, that you need at least to have a hefsek tira from this, right? If they're arguing about whether we're going to be Tayla or Badika or not. So, I mean, it's clear, therefore, that in order to be Seimech on the Badika from then, she'd have to be Badik on the seventh day from her Ketan. Correct? Because the whole thing is based on when was she Badik or Ketan. So how come you never said, I asked you so many times, is this halakha based on Hefsek Taira that's made for the Ketem or not? And you never answered me. Why didn't you ever answer me before? So he says to him, you mean Tamim do require Hefsek Taira? He said, of course. But Rebbe's in this again. I asked you so many times, you never answered me. What happened? The only thing I could figure is that maybe you didn't know, so you didn't want to say anything. And now that you were saying over the machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, it came back to you, of course. I mean, if there's a machlokas, so obviously then it's shaykh to make a efsek tira for the ketem. Dilma agav shitvecha atilach. Maybe now that it's flowing, it's interesting, the English word, very modern English word, that they were bechadar showed me within the past 40, 50 years, it's flow. A psychologist who identified a state called shitva, flow, in which a person is capable of remembering things and doing things that normally they're not unable to do, because suddenly everything simply flows as an automatic response. There are tremendous differences in the capabilities of a person who's in a state of flow. It's identified as an actual state called flow. The Gemara uses the word flow 2,000 years before. Amazing. So Dilma agav shitvecha atilach, maybe because you were flowing in the sugya, the whole thing came back. Oh, my life, that's exactly what happened. Exactly. Agav shitvecha atilach. I was flowing into this, and I suddenly remembered. I'm really sorry. You asked me. I was trying to figure it out. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't say anything. I wasn't sure what to say. But and now it's clear, of course. If Reish Lakish and Reish Yochanan are arguing about it, so of course, it's a chayav b'dika for the ketel. Now, obviously, again, Tosfos says this whole thing is ridiculous. You know, it's all been Seimech that I can actually count Shivas Yemei Nida from Metzias HaKetem and not from an actual Riyah. Who ever heard of such a thing? Not to mention the fact that this doesn't bring, but not to mention the fact it's a very strange machloket, whether her das is going to be what defines something as a Ketem or as a Riyah. I mean, either it is or it's not. But what's a child? Does she believe in it or she doesn't believe in it? Therefore, Tosfos has a totally different approach. Do ketamim require a hefsek tira means? Does there need to be a bedika that she made on herself between the time that the beged was last checked or washed and the mitziat haketem? That's the point. If you're going to rely, whether it's 24 hours of libet rebbe or whether it's ayayim, whatever the shear is, but is that shear only said in a case where at least she checked herself at one point before she found the ketet, and she knew she wasn't bleeding then. So therefore, already, okay, put together the two issues. And then we could say, all right, if she checked herself, she wasn't bleeding. And she got her period a little bit later, put the two together. Makes sense that we shouldn't be machmer to go back 3 weeks and be batamir from the last time we watched it. Let's rely on the re'iyah that came afterward. But if she never checked herself, maybe we wouldn't rely on it. That's the only kasha, the only question that he's raising. That's all. And that turns out here he's saying there's a machloket. But it's shayach. So he's saying Rebbe. So in other words, it's shayach that there is such a thing as requiring to have sikhtaira, even for this year. So Erokinami, you're right. For each day. So then Choshesheth. If you love in a Choshesheth, Rav Yehuda ben Agram and Mishum Rav Yossi, either way, she has to be Choshesheth. Or my Rebbe, Nirin Divri Rav Yehuda ben Agram, B'shalot Batka, V'divrei Chachamim, Kishabatka. Now, what do you mean when you say Kishabatka? My Batka, my Lo Batka. Omar Ravash Kaktila Rabbanan Debe Rav, the Yat Vikamre, what we mean is like this. Ochma is king of Shabotka Atzma, Vlobotka Chaluka. Vav Atzma, Lobotka, Benesh Rashad Reb Yehuda, but Benesh Rashad Reb Yossi, Lobotka. So therefore, the Rabbanan, Nusavri Benesh Rashad Reb Yossi is Laila, and Abotka Benesh Rashad Reb Yehuda, so there's no Fashash to split it into two reyes. It's Rabbi Yehuda the timing. The Amar Ben Ashmash is Sveikul. The Amina Luana. Listen, that doesn't work. You can't be biting yourself one time. Yamola Yadea Beineako Ben Ashmash is no. Yafa at the moment. But Akshav, how do you know Shemim Sivak Yadea Rata? The Amrul, well, of course that's what we mean. He came in with a mogadachuk. There's nothing yet happening there. Ko bein hashmashes. Now let's analyze Rebbe's statement in light of this explanation. Omar Rebbe, nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra kishelo batka. What do you mean? My lo batka. Ilema batka b'de Rebbe Yehuda, but lo batka b'de Rebbe Yossi. That would imply that Rebbe Yehuda himself would hold afa gav the batka b'tarvayim chayshe for zivas. How is that possible? A batka, elachita, the lo batka, lo bid Rabbi Yehuda, velo the Rabbi Yossi. But had you been bidding Rabbi Yehuda, velo batka, but Rabbi Yossi, lo chayish is what Rabbi is saying. Okay, so then that means that according to Rabbi, bein hashmash to Rabbi Yossi, lo Rabbi is wailo. He's saying like the chacham. So the name of seifa merely give a chacham in kishabatka. So what's batka over there? Let me the batka to Rabbi Yehuda, velo batka, but Rabbi Yossi. So what would that be saying? That I'll leave it to Rabban, and even if you weren't betting at all, we wouldn't be chayish. Why not? Hello, batka. Elapshita the batka. Bein the Rabbi Yehuda, bein the Rabbi Yossi. But had you been betting the Rabbi Yehuda, velo the Rabbi Yossi, then Rabbi is saying that I would have been chayish. So now you're signing that bein hashmashah the Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi is a sveka. Make up your mind. So kasha the Rabbi, had the Rabbi. And I misunderstand. How can you come? Nearing to the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, not to me, to the Rabbanim themselves. They would also agree in a case where Lo Batka Klal, Lo the Rabbi Yehuda, Lo the Rabbi Yehuda, because even the Chachomim Lo Nechu Kualav, Ela the Batka the Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Batka the Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Batka the Rabbi Yehuda. But Ech Lo Batka Klal, of course they're made, and you have to be chayish that there were two re'iyahs. Vraminu, what do you do about this right? Roa Ketem, Luria Meruba, meaning three Greece involved. Chosheshet, but the Ria Muetet for Shnei Grisim, Nenat, Ena Chosheshet. Zud Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Shomer Shom Rabbi Yossi. Omar Rebbe, I don't know how you could say it, I heard from Rabbi Yossi. Ani Shabbatim Yemenim, that doesn't matter, you always have to be Chosheshet. And he explained why. Minatam Azeh Amarli, look, suppose Anita that was Raya on the seventh day, and wasn't Mafrish Bataira Minamit Chavalamala, she only checked herself in the morning. So you're telling me she's not going to be with Cheskes Tmeah. So same thing is true over here. Why not? If she was with Cheskes Tmeah, she wasn't Bedekas herself. Veneer and Dvaravki Shabbatka. I think he's right if she was Bedek. So then, Enar Chinami, then only a Re'iyah that would be, if it's only two, you can't split it. Now, what did Rebbe mean? My batka, lema de batka ben Rebbe Yehuda, the lo batka ben Rebbe Yossi. What's he saying about Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra? Why not a lo batka? Elachita, the batka means batka completely. Ben Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Rabbi Yossi. In other words, and that's when it makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra himself would hold that if batka, but Rabbi Yehuda, a lo batka, but the Rabbi Yehuda, lo chayshina. So then it's a steer Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, not to mention the fact that it's a steer of Rabbi Yossi. He's quoting Rabbi Yossi. How can he say Rabbi Yossi is about a Lila? So he's going to say Ben Ashwazi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is a Lila. It makes no sense. Kash Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. So, I mean, obviously below Rebbe, there's no problem. This is the simplest thing in the world. It's Rebbe who's driving us crazy here. Below Rebbe is very simple. If you was Bodek Rebbe Yehuda below Bodek Rebbe Yossi, so then you have to be Chayesh. If you were Bodek Nami but Rebbe Yehuda and in Rebbe Yossi, then you don't have to be Chayesh. But once Rebbe starts all of this talk, he's making us nuts. So a little bit of Rebbe Kasha. No, because Rebbe knew that there were treitanoi. I'll leave it to Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra. Because there's a machlokas, what the Ben Hashrash and Rebbe Yossi, when it occurs. So I thought it's of our first Shalom Ben Hashrash to Rebbe Yehuda. Then comes the Ben Hashrash to Rebbe Yossi. If you're only biting yourself in Rebbe Yehuda, so what, you still have a chash and a Rebbe Yossi, that your Re'yeh should be mechuleket into two parts. And therefore, but my time to suffer banishment to Rabbi Yossi is Misha Shayef to Rabbi Yehuda. In which case, if you were Botka, so then you were Memela Botik even in Rabbi Yossi. So what's the Shash? No more Shash? Tad Rabba. Haroa Keten Mitamatzma Vikotchen Lemafreya. Divi Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Lezomer. I can go along with Kotchen. But that metama, but atzma to be metama legabi tires ain't a metama. Shaloye kitma chamur miriyata. What are you talking about? Well, you just said that Reb Shimon Elazar made a matzinu kitma chamur miriyata liyikachim. Sorry, I have to didn't change it. He couldn't have said that. Elatzinyak Reb Shimon ben Elazar Aimer. Even kachim ain't a metame because the loye kitma chamur miriyata in any way. Look hold of up. Now, turn it up on it. Rata keten, ve'acharkach rata dam, she can be tola kitma b'ri'yata within the next 24 hours, mi'et le'et. So says Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, Omer? No, only for the rest of the day. Omar Rebbe, well, he makes more sense. Near and far mid morai. Shehu mitakna v'anima afta. Mitakna? What mitakna? Adam Rabbi, he's making life harder for her. He's saying that you have to count the ketem separately if she was royal after that day. Avrutim avit la. Ravina, you're right. He must have said the opposite. Epoch. Rav Nachman says, no. Liolam lo tepoch. What he meant was, Rabbi, is that Aliba Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he is mitakein legavi the dinim of Ziva, because according to him, boy Rashi's learning, according to him, the Yemei Nidais begin a day later, and therefore the Yemei Zivas begin a day later, and therefore she's only a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom if she saw the 7th, 8th, and 9th, the 7th meaning the 8th, but 7th from the Ket, from the Riyah, which is really the 8th already for the Ket. So according to me, she already was started her Zivas, according to Shimon. There's no problem. So you know what? It's a Darabon, and he's right. We should be more Mecha. And the Ika Kula should be Lagabi Zivas, not Lagabi Nidas. So if that's the case, we should pass him like him, except I was Makabal otherwise. Boy, me and Ribzei Ribasi. Ktabim, so you can have Sektaira Olo. Ishtik Velo Amar Lagalo Mide. Zimnin ashkiche diyati v'ka'amar tolakit ma'bri yata mi'et le'et divrei Rebbe. And Reish Lakish says only if she was b'dekes. And Rabbi Yochanan Avraham Pishalo Batka. Omar Leis, in other words, you're telling me that k'tamim require hafsek taira. Omar Leis, sure. But zimnin sagim b'aminach lo amart v'lo mide. Dilma agav shitvcha ati lecha. Omar Leis, agav shitvcha ati lecha. That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Okay, today's daf
is daf Nun Gimel from the Sechas Nida. However, we are up to the bottom of Nun Beis Amid Beis, and I believe we got up to the Tana Rabbanan, three lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Haro'a Ketem, Im yesh bo kedei lechalek shlosha grisin, shehin kri gris va'od chosheshet, v'im lavina chosheshet. Now, similar to what we learned yesterday, the Rabbanan tainet that as long as you can split a re'iyah v'kesem into three parts, each of which would be large enough to be one kesem, you can spread that re'iyah out over 3 days, and that's assuming that the woman was wearing the same clothing for 3 days, and then she would have to be for sheshes that she's a zava, gedayla, that she was re'ya 3 times, because of the re'iya of the kesem. And remember, we had yesterday a machlokas Rashi and Ramban about whether that means that there's a suffik zava gedayla legabe hakrabas korban, which will then be brought and not eaten, is how Rashi learned. Well, whether the whole din of kesem that could be ma'ir chash of zivas can never be for more than a shivas yomim tuma. In other words, a requirement of shivas yomim of taira after the tuma. Because after all, how could the rabbanan, satan is the rabbanan, how could the rabbanan say that there should be a chiyav of avas a korban, which is chulin v'azora, on a kesem which cannot be diraisa, cannot be diraisa, because there was no hargasha, and without hargasha there's no din of tumah by an isha. Therefore the whole din is only mirabbanan, even in its inception. As Rashi learns, the kesem is a chashash of true re'iyah. The only question is, did it come from her, or did it come from somewhere else? On the tzad that it came from her, we have to be cheshish for an actual riyah that was metame, and therefore there would be a cheshash of korban as well. Also, okay, we're going to talk about that question later. But certainly the Ramban holds our koshas that's defined. They're both called zova zuv zov demai. So now the Rabbanan say in this brisa something that seems to be very reasonable, which is only if there's sufficient dam in this kesem that we should have three separate stains that therefore could be stained over 3 separate days and therefore could be a re'iyah of a zava gedayla, only then do we have to be cheshesh that she's a zava. But if there's not enough stain to split over 3 days, each one being a kigris v'od, then there's no chashash. Thank you, our dear president. May I be ma'ir now that tomorrow I cannot drink because of a blood test. So Mamela, please don't waste a good tea on a non-drinker. Thank you. Now here comes the blast today, a big chiddush, because yesterday Reb Chanina ben Hatigdus taina that even that is a tremendous leap to say that we should take a ketem and split it up over 3 days. Why should we split it up? Even that's a leap. But worse than that, I mean, his study, I would be willing to say split it up, but how do you even know that 3 is enough? Maybe it was really only 2.5, and the rest of it came from a ma'akola. That was his taina yesterday. Today we have a shita that says exactly the opposite. And that is the shita now of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Imer Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Achazu V'Achazu Chosheshu. Even if there's not enough dam to split into 3 separate re'iyahs over 3 separate days, nonetheless, there is a chashash over here of a zava gedayla. Seems to be incredible. How could such a thing be? The only explanation could possibly be that his chashash is that maybe the ketem comes from dam that was flowing Bein Hashmashes. So if it was Bein Hashmashes, it could have been a Re'iyah that was both on Yom HaSheni, let's say, and on Yom HaShlishi. Or we can have the first day and the second day in one, and then one Re'iyah on the third day because of the Bein Hashmashes. Therefore, you cannot decide just because you have only two Shiurim of Ksamim that there were only 2 days of Re'iyah. Because remember, the Re'iyah per se has no Shiur. The tiniest bit is a Re'iyah. The only reason we need a Shiur by a Kesen is to define it as not coming from a Ma'akolet, but it's actually coming from the Isha, correct? Okay? Now, if we're saying that there was Dam that was flowing here, how do we know that this Kesen is not the result of a long Re'iyah that created a stain of this size that went during Bein Hashmashes? Since Bein Hashmashes is Sofik Yerim, Sofik Lair. So maybe the part of Bein Hashmashes that she saw, the first part of the Re'iyah, was Yerim. So it was Yerim HaSheni. The second part of the flow was Belayla. So it was now Yerim HaShlishi. So the truth is that in two Re'iyahs, you have a chashash of 3 days. Therefore, Tainis Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, that Rabbi Yossi held that even a shear of shnei kesamim is sufficient to create a suffix of a zava gedela, and therefore you'd have to be machmer even if you can't split it up over 3 days. So now we have three shitas. We have yesterday, we had the shita of the chachomim, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignas. Rav Chanina ben Antignas stated that you can't rely even on three to split it up 3 ways. How do you know that some of it maybe isn't from something else? The Chachomim said as long as you have three, you can split it up over 3 days, and that's today's Tanakhama. And today we were Mechadish Rav Yehuda ben Agra, who says even if you only have two, you can also split it up over 3 days, because you can be Chashish that one of the Re'iyahs was Bein Hashmashes. Omar Rebbe. Now here is the critical statement of Rebbe to our sugya, which throws the entire sugya into disarray. And Rebbe said like this: Nirin divrei Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra b'shelo batka. Seems to, now this is what it sounds like it's saying. Seems to me, says Rebbe, that the halacha should follow Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra if she wasn't bodekes. If she wasn't bodekas herself, how do you know that the Re'iyah didn't go the whole Bein Hashmashes? However, I think that the Chachomim are right that you should need 3 separate shiurim of Ksamim, the Shabbatka, if she checked herself Bein Hashmashes, so then there's no chashash that it was Bein Hashmashes, so therefore you need 3. Now, this is very strange, because maybe the implications are that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra was talking about even a case where she was bodekas. I mean, if she was bodekas, there's no chashash that she was Re'iyah Bein Hashmashes, right? So now we're going to have to understand, what is Rebbe talking about? I mean, he's paskening on one hand, like the Rabbanan, on the other hand, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, which implies that the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra and Rabbanan argue even in the other cases. In other words, there's a spectrum of machlokas. In one, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, and on the other, he paskins like the Rabbanan. Correct? We're going to have to understand the machlokas across the spectrum. So let's try to analyze what the spectrum is. When you say batka lo batka, what exactly do you mean? That you're willing to say that the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, is right to shalo batka. My lo batka. Well, what do you mean that she wasn't bodekas? Omar Rava ashkachtina l'rabban devirat. The Yasvi Shamri says, Rabbi, I found in the Beis Medrash they were very concerned with the explanation. What did Rabbi mean? So they understood it like this. They said, I heard them speaking, the Chavrusas, it's got to be talking about that, look, she definitely didn't check her clothing. If she checked her clothing and she find out that there was no ketam on it at the end of the first day, then there's nothing to discuss. I mean, or the end of the second day. There's nothing to discuss. So then we know that there wasn't a kesem on 3 days. So that can't be what it's talking about. The case was like this. She was not bodekes to chaluk at all. She waited until the end. That's when she found her 3 ketamim. But what she did do is she checked herself, she checked her own body. But she only checked her body bein hashmashot. So af atzma lo batka ela bein hashmashot. Now, before we continue, we have to know that from the sugya of Tzorchim, from the sugya in Shabbos, it's clear that there is a machlokas when precisely bein hashmashos is. So one man, the Omer Rebbe Yehuda, holds that bein hashmashos continues over a period of a chatzi mil or shloshes rivei mil, depending how you learn the sugya, which is the way we have the 18 minute bein hashmashos, basically. And this bein hashmashos is all along. We don't know at what point it changes between yom v'layla. And it begins, the Gemara explains it, it depends, you have to take a look at the sky, and you see the change in the horizon, gradually turns gray, the top becomes similar to the bottom, whatever. Rabbi Yossi Shita is that bein hashmashos is keherevayin. Keherevayin, like the wink of an eye. Zeh yotzei v'zeh nichnas, immediately before nightfall, in other words, immediately before tzeit hakochavim, which is definitely nightfall, there's an instant in which the night may actually begin a moment earlier. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that that instant begins after the end of the Sufik period of Rabbi Yehuda. So let's say we have an 18-minute Sufik period of Rabbi Yehuda that starts at Shkia. At the end of those 18 minutes, there's another moment which we have Rabbi Yehuda. And there, and there at that moment you have another suffering, only according to Rabbi Yosef. So therefore the Rabbanan felt that must be the machlokas here between Rabbi Yehuda ben Agum and Chachamim, because I mean, if you think about it, it's not shayach machlokas. What are they going to argue? Certainly everybody is made that there's a chashash of Zariah ben Ashmashas, and that's not a chiddush. Certainly everybody is mighty that if she was Baidekas, the entire Bein HaShemashas, so then there's no Chashash of Riyah Bein HaShemashas. So they can't be arguing about that. I mean, those are childishly simple facts. Either there is a Chashash Bein HaShemashas, or there's not a Chashash Bein HaShemashas. So what could they be arguing? The only thing they could be arguing, Taina Daman the Omrim in the Beis HaMedrash, is what is Bein HaShemashas? So the question is whether, let's say during those 18 minutes, she was bodekas the whole time. So apparently that's the machlokas. Does that constitute a bodika? Or is it insufficient because there's still a suffix of Rabbi Yossi's ben Ashmashas after the end of Rabbi Yossi's ben Ashmashas? Yeah? That would be an easy way of learning the sugya. So they were sitting and they were saying like this. Now what happened is that she was bodekas herself. And even that bedika was only during the bein hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda. So for those 18 minutes, she was 20 minutes, whatever the shirish, she was bodekas. And then she wasn't bodekas. So the next moment, which is the bein hashmashos to Rabbi Yossi, she wasn't bodekas. Now, the machlokas therefore would be the Rabbanan over here who say, look, either there's a shear of three ksamim, three grisim ba'od, which are three separate ksamim, there's nothing to be chayish for. They say, of course, there's nothing to be chayish for. She was bodekas the whole bein hashmashos. What is there to do? There's no suspicion of anything else. Elamai, she wasn't bodekas during the second bein hashmashos. There is no second bein hashmashos. The Rabbanan hold that bein hashmashos to Rabbi Yossi, Laila. That's definitely Laila. And that's the next day. We're at, and therefore, I mean, v'habotka the bein hashmashos to Rabbi Yehuda, and since she did that bedika during the only bein hashmashos that there is, which is the bein hashmashos of Rabbi Yehuda, there's nothing to be chayshish. However, remember who is Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra quoting? Rabbi Yossi. So obviously, Rabbi Yossi holds of his own bein hashmashos. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, this is Rabbi Yossi the timing. Rabbi Yossi shita is that the second bein hashmashos is a sveika. And therefore, it's a simple machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra was saying that I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi, since she only checked in the first bein hashmashos, and she didn't check in the second bein hashmashos, so she didn't check bein hashmashos. So how do we know there wasn't one re'iyah which took let's say 10 seconds, and during those 10 seconds, she was Roya, both Bayom and Belayla, because of the Sopik and Menach Marsha. All very straightforward. Now, says Rava, this is what I heard the Chavrusas talking about, and I pointed out to them, I hope you guys are not making the mistake of thinking that you can check once during Bein HaShemashas and expect that now everything is okay. I mean, because what good is checking once? The moment that you check, she takes her hand away now to look at her, but during that instant, how do you know she didn't see it that instant? And that instant itself is now already a Sopik Yom and Sopik Laila. So Amina Lulana, I said to them, said Rava, look, I just want to clarify. I mean, if she was holding her fingers in her eye, which is the same euphemism we used earlier, that it's Ketzma behind. So if she was holding her finger in her eye, so to speak, the entire period of Bein HaShemashas, the whole 20 minutes or 18 minutes. Okay, then what you're saying indeed makes a lot of sense. But, I mean, Yafatem Omri, but if not, but Akshav, if that's not the case, I mean, Shemaim Siluk Yadel Ra'ata, maybe the moment she took out her hand to look at the Badika, maybe at that moment that's when it happened. The Omri and the Chavrus has told me, yes, of course, we took that into consideration. Ki Kamri, Anonymous, what are we talking about? We're talking about, obviously, so she basically had a moch, she had a piece of cloth that would have absorbed any re'iyah during that time. The entire period, all the whole 18 minutes, she takes it out and checks it, there's no blood on it. So now there's no suffix. Except according to Rabbi Yossi, aha, that she took it out a moment early. She should have left it in another few seconds. Therefore, you have to be chesh in the second one. A simple baklokas. Very straightforward. Now the complications begin only because Rebbe. If Rebbe hadn't said anything, we would have been very happy. But now, Rebbe obviously creates a problem because he makes there a spectrum of a machlokas in which he says, look, in one of the cases this makes sense to me, and in the other case, the other mandiyama makes sense to me, which means that the machlok is extended over both cases. Well, what are the both cases? There are no both cases. I mean, explain to me what Rebbe is talking about. So let's take a look at Rebbe now, says the Gemara. I'm a Rebbe. Mir indi re Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra kishalo batka. Now what is that supposed to be? Shalo batka. I mean, lo batka at all? My lo batka. I mean, if you're telling me, no, obviously, can't even look at all. It must mean, like we just said. In other words, if she was not bodekis in Reb Yossi's, she was bodek in Reb Yehuda, but she was not bodekis in Reb Yossi's. That's the way we just explained it, right? Yeah, but that's very interesting. But then that would mean that that's not the only case that Reb Yehuda held. It was a suffix zava even with only two. Because you're saying, in that case, I think he's right. Well, what's the other case? What's the other case in which he would have argued? That what? That he was Bodek? She was Bodekis in both of them? And even so, he's Choshesh. How could he be Choshesh? What are you saying? Bichlav, Ravina, Sofar, Afagav, the Bodka, Bitarvayu, Choshesh. What are you, you're trying to tell me? That one of the two cases, there he makes sense. The one of the two cases being the one that we just figured out ourselves. That there was a bedika during Reb Yehuda's Bein HaShemashas and no bedika during Reb Yossi. That makes sense. Okay, that makes sense, but he himself holds what? You don't agree with him in which case? In the case in which he was bodekas, both. Both in Reb Yehuda and in Reb Yossi. I don't understand. How could he possibly, how could anybody normal maintain that if she was bodekas herself the entire Bein HaShemashas, that it's enough to have only two ksumim to define 3 days? I mean, he's not crazy, is he? So you're trying to tell me that Afa got the vodka but Tarvayo Chaisha? A vodka, I don't understand. She checked herself. So that couldn't be the case. Elamai, what are you saying? What are the two cases that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra would have been saying that there are one in a row? Elapshit. In other words, he's saying like this, that I hold of him, He's saying, what Rebbe is saying is, Mirin de Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra kishalobatka, meaning, shalobatka at all. There, I think he's right. In other words, she wasn't even bodekas in Rebbe Yehuda's. Shalobatka, lobat Rebbe Yehuda below Rebbe Yosef. Because I hold, of course, that he's right in that case. But if she was bodekas, even just in Rebbe Yehuda's and not in Rebbe Yosef, she wouldn't have to be chayshet. Ah, in that he's wrong. Why? Because I hold that once she checks in the time of Rabbi Yehuda, that's enough. Meaning that I, Rabbi, don't agree that there's such a thing as a suffix ben Ashmashis like Rabbi Yossi. I hold that the whole ben Ashmashis is only like Rabbi Yehuda. That seems to be what Rabbi is saying. Correct? Okay. So Alma ben Ashmashis to Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi, Lailiyahu. So in other words, he's saying, I hold the way the Talmidim and the Beis Hamedrash just defined the Rabbanah. That seems to be what he's saying. Now, obviously, now we're going to have a problem understanding the Rabbanah, because we understood that that's all the Rabbanah said. But Rebbe is holding that there's a spectrum in what the Rabbanah said. So what's the spectrum? Same as Seifan. How are you going to explain now Rebbe's later parts? But I hold that the Chachomim are right that you need three if she was bodekas. Now, what do you mean when you're saying if she was bodekas? That what? She was bodekas in Rebbe Yehuda. And she was not bodek in Rebbe Yosef. And all you're coming along to say is, I hold that the Chachomim are right, which is basically what you said before. But then you're saying that the Rabbanan would have held that Afagav the low vodka betavayo lo chayshina. So what? The Rabbanan themselves, they go all the way. They hold you don't have to be chayish for a Riyah ben Ashmashas, even though there was no Badika in any ben Ashmashas. And I agree with them if there was no Badika in Rabbi Yossi's ben Ashmashas, but there was a Badika in Rabbi Yehuda's ben Ashmashas. Does that make sense? Now what? The Rabbanan would hold his no chayshash. Why in the world would there be no chayshash ben Ashmashas if she didn't make a Badika? I mean, everybody should hold that there's such a chash. Either you hold that she could have been ray or not. I mean, that's fair. Hello, vodka. Elapshita, you're going to have to say that when Rebbe said, I hold of the Chachomim, when she was bodekas, it means when she was bodekas entirely. She was bodekas, both in Rebbe Yehuda's and Rebbe Yosef's. But if she was only bodek in Rebbe Yehuda and not in Rebbe Yosef, well, baby, maybe that's good enough for the Rabbanan, but it ain't good enough for me. Because I hold you need to check in Rabbi Yossi's too. I understand. A moment ago, we were medaking what Rabbi said, that you don't have to check in Rabbi Yossi's too. And now you're saying, but I don't agree with the Rabbanan in every case. So which case don't you agree in? There's only one case left, Rabbi. That's the case where there was no Badik in Rabbi Yossi. So now you're saying that you hold Rabbi Yossi is a suffix. Make up your mind. First you say you agree with Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yosi isn't a suffix. Then you turn around and say, but I only agree with the Rabbanan in the case where there was a Badik in Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yosi is a suffix. I don't understand what you're talking about. And there's no alternative. I mean, there's only two cases. There's only two cases of Barker Low Barker. You don't have an alternative to create now a third case where there's a spectrum. There's no other spectrum. So how can you say two things that are contradictory? So what are you saying? That bit of Rabbi Yossi Chashina? That if there was no Badika, there Rabbi Yossi, and you have to... in other words, then you would be saying, Rebbe, that Ben Ashmash is according to Rabbi Yossi, according to Rebbe, is a suffix. So then Kasha to Rebbe, out of Rebbe. Rebbe just contradicted himself. First he says, I hold like the Rabbanan. Only in a case where there's no Chash of Rabbi Yossi. And then he says, but I hold Rebbe Yossi is right, because you don't have to... What's going on? Says the Gemara, as it often does when Rebbe says these things. You misunderstood it. It didn't mean that Rebbe was paskening across a spectrum. Rebbe was trying to clarify where is the machlokas Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbana. That's what he was saying. Wasn't saying what he holds. Nearing means everybody would hold, meaning they agree with each other. That's all he's saying. What he meant to say is like this. That nearing Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra the Rabbanan would also be made that Reb Yudah is right, kishalo batka, meaning kishalo batka at all. Because because the Chachamim also were only arguing in a case. Shav Chachamim lo nechuku alav ela to batka but the Reb Yudah v'lo batka to Reb Yossi. They were only arguing in a case where there was no bedik in Reb Yossi, but of course there was a bedik in Reb Yudah. But in a case where there was no bedik of a klal, hechad lo batka klal. So then, of course, they would be made at Reb Yudah. Therefore, nearing the words now, nearing means that they too, Reb Yudah ben Agra, the Rabbanan too, would have agreed that Reb Yudah ben Agra is right, kishalo batka at all. Because they were never arguing in a case, lo batka at all. And furthermore, nearing in the other direction, and Reb Yudah ben Agra also would be made there, that you, if you were baidek, meaning in both, then of course there would be no chashash, and you need three separate ksamim. So therefore, Rebbe was essentially supporting the Talmidim in the Beis HaMidrash of Rava. The way he put it was like this, to challenge us to essentially figure out what those Talmidim figured out. There's got to be a spectrum. Oh! There's Taka Rebbe Yudah and Rebbe Yossi. Ah, so that explains the Machlokas Rebbe Yudah ben Agra, who was quoting Rebbe Yossi. It works out beautifully. That's Rebbe Yossi Lashitas, eh? That there's another Bein HaShmarsh that remains a Chashash. And then there's Rebbe Yehudah, which is what the Rabbanan are going according to. Only the Chashash of the Bein HaShmarsh and Rebbe Yehudah. But obviously, no one would argue if there was no Bedik at all, Bein HaShmarsh. And no one would argue if there was a Bedik across all of the possible Bein HaShmarsh. So everything is now clear. What's that?
When we talked a little more earlier,
yeah.
About
the speak louder to be.
One kesem. And the issue is, if it's less than a good grizz, we worry that it might be the insect.
No.
So, what about when there's multiple blood, that rule definitely still applies?
That what? Which rule?
The rule that it has to be a good grizz. I mean, we're taking that for granted.
Yes.
So, when I see a lot of blood, I know Vada, there was some kind of something that came out of her, so why should I? Maybe the chashash of less than a grizz only applies when it's an isolated incident. But once I know there's certainly something that came out.
No, but I only have a chashash of one bleed.
Greece.
I need to have a reason to believe there were multiple bleeds. That's what the Rabbanan is timing. That was the discussion yesterday with Hanina.
Even the rule doesn't have
to. Yeah. In other words, we don't say if we have, let's say, one and a half, and we definitely had two bleeds. Because we're definitely out of the shear of the Kegris, so we no longer have to be facious from our Hafalat. Yes. Does everybody understand Scott's point? Scott's point is like this. L'chaira, you might have thought, once you've established that there was a bleed, and there was no macholot. And remember yesterday we had the Tanya of Rabbi Hanina who said, look, since you yourself, Rabban, the truth is that the Rabbi Hanina's Tanya was built on Scott's logic. Rabbi Hanina was saying like this, look, you yourself, Rabbanan, still agree that there is a concept called a kesem. You're not willing to go all the way and say, well, you know what? Once there's definitely a bleed, because there's no macholat that would have made a stain like this, why not split any bleed up over 3 days? Why not say there was a tiny amount of blood on day one, a tiny amount of blood on day two, and a tiny amount of blood on day three, all of which added up to one kesem? We know it's not a macholat. So what makes you say that there was a bleed all at one time? So mamonavshach. Either you hold a kesem remains a din of a kesem, always. So then if that's the case, a kesem remains a din of a kesem always. And you've got two and a half, right? How does two and a half equal three separate ksum? You know that there was one kesem definitely. Okay, so maybe that kesem was larger. How do you know that the last piece wasn't a macholet? So if you're keeping to the din of ktamim, you should need to prove that all of this isn't from a macholet. Elamai, you're saying, no, I mean, once we establish that there's no ma'acholot that could possibly have created such a stain, it's multiple bleeds. No! So if it's multiple bleeds, then you shouldn't need this shear either. You can't have it both ways. That's essentially Scott's question. It's part of what Rabbi Hanina is saying. Well, what the Rabbanan responded yesterday to Rabbi Hanina was including Scott's reasoning, is that there's one takana of a kesem, and a kesem has to be kegris ve'ol. There's no halacha that a kesem is definitely a bleed once it's yotzei mitoch kegris ve'ol. And therefore, ho'il, since you can split it up now into three ksamim, but still needs to follow all of the rules of ksamim, since you can split it into three separate ksamim, we therefore can have a din of three separate days. But we're not ready to go along with either of your assumptions. Not that there's such a thing as a bleed that's yotzei bichlal kesem and can now be split up. There's no such thing, because we were never gezer such a chashash. The whole din is a gezera anyway. That we're not concerned with, nor are we concerned with questioning whether perhaps a particular kesem might have been larger than a kegris, leaving less than a kegris on the third kesem. We give a din of kesem to kegris for oud, period. We don't start splitting it up artificially. Now, everything would have worked out just fine until this point. Except that, unfortunately, we have another brisa. And unfortunately, again, Rebbe sticks in his pirish, which gets us even more confused. Because we've been able to support now everything. We even understand Rebbe. But now this next piece doesn't make sense. Bravinia. Yes, Raymar. So what are you going to do now about this? Here we have a brisa that talks about how large a kesem has to be to have a chashash of ziva. So the Chachamim say like this. We'll see that this is Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Like this. Haroa ketim l'ri'iya meruba chosheshet. L'ri'iya mu'etet ina chosheshet. If you see a ketim that is large enough to be a ri'iya meruba, in other words, three grisim plus the three vaods, three grisim vaod, then you have a chashash of zivas. But if it's less than that, there's no chashash of zivas. Zu divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra sh'amar mishum Rabbi Yossi. Now this is really weird. Because before, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra amar mishum Rabbi Yossi, achazu v'achazu chasheshes. Here comes along the same Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, and he says, "Ain't a chosheshes. It has to be three grisim and three vaodes." Omar Rabbi, so here comes again Rabbi to say, "Anisha matimimen." Well, I got to tell you that personally, I heard from him, not like this brisa,
from him, who's
that
him?
From Rabbi Yossi himself, not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra says, that achazu v'achazu chosheshes. That you'd have to worry even if it was too small to be three separate riyas, and he explained it to me. By the way, up until this time, until Rebbe starts talking, we're not really concerned with any problems here. We could easily have answered that one case is talking about where she checked during the entire Bein HaShemashes, and one was talking about where she didn't check during the Bein HaShemashes of Rebbe Yossi, right? That would be fine, because we already explained that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra never argued on the Chachamim in a case where she was bodekus entirely. So, I mean, it doesn't disturb us very much. It's Rebbe that's going to cause the disturbances over here. So Rebbe says, look, Rabbi Yossi explained to me that the pshat is like this. Do you not agree that a nida that was never mafrisha b'tairam in a mincha v'lamala, she never did a hefsek taira after mincha. She did a bedika. Did a bedika. This is a nida d'oraisa we're talking about. On her seventh day, she's going to go to the mikveh. So she checks herself in the morning. And then in the afternoon, She doesn't check herself. There was no half sucker b'tayra. So now what's going to be the din? The din is that she's going to still be b'ches kastuma. She can't go to the mikveh now, because even though the next morning she checks, she says, okay, now I'll go to the mikveh. No, so no, you can't do that, because you don't know whether there was a riyah today, possibly, on the eighth day, because you never defined yourself as being tired at night. Where was your badika ben hashmashas? Where was your badika at night? Lote b'cheskas tumeya. So isn't she still going to have to worry about being b'cheskas tuma, not being able to go to the mikveh that night? So you see that a morning badika is insufficient. Why? Because you always have to be cheshish. You never know whether she'll, even the last minute of the day, maybe she'll still be roya. She has to be able to define, no, I checked the last minute of the day and there was no riyah. That's what she has to be able to tell you. Therefore, said Rabbi Yossi to me, is that any different than this case? Since you cannot establish in this case that she wasn't Raya Ben Ashmashas, so how can you be sure that there was no Raya Ben Ashmashas? If she was not Bedekas, then that Raya Ben Ashmashas would count as two separate Raya's. Since we're worried about Zivas, in that case, she's only worrying about her Nidas. We got to be concerned about Zivas here, because this is her third Raya. And I got to tell you, says Rebbe, I think he's right. V'nir'in dvarav. I think the way Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra quoted Rabbi Yossi is right, but only kishabatka. Only when she did check. Now, can you explain that statement to me? That he's right only when she did check, that you need to have enough of a ketam, that should be three shiurim. My batka. When you're saying only if she checks, Ilam the batka, but Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? I think he's right if she was bodekes in the shiur ben hashmashas of Rabbi Yehuda, but she was not bodekes in the shiur ben hashmashas of Rabbi Yossi. There, I think he's right, because what? He himself apparently holds that what? That Mechlal the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra Sofer Afakav the Lobat Ka Lobat Rabbi Yehuda Velob the Rabbi Yossi Lo Chayish. What? He himself holds without a Bedik at all. You don't have to be Chayish for Bedik for a Riyah ben Hashmashas. That's absurd. Of course he not. How would you not have to be Chayish? Obviously you hold there's a Chashash of a Riyah because of a Kesem. You don't know when the Kesem was. No one in his right mind could argue that if the Riyah might have been ben Hashmashas, then it might have been a Riyah over 2 days. Ben Hashmashas, it would mean that we have no way of knowing which part was during the first day, which part was during the second day. Each moment that it was both days. Because if it went, the Riyah obviously takes some time, and Ben Hashmashas, the entire period of Ben Hashmashas is a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. So whatever that some time was, how would we know that that some time didn't cross over the demarcation point? We have to be misopic about that.
The argument is the length of when is
Ben Hashmashot?
Ben Hashmashot
is always a suffix. Right. There's no one who holds there's no suffix yom and suffix life. Elapshita. In other words, it's got to be like this. That Rabbi Yehuda Ben Agra, he himself holds that thank you for reminding me. Rebbe is saying that what? I hold that he's right in a case where there was a bedika, meaning the entire period of Ben Hashmashas. There's a serious problem. So if she was bodekas ben Rabbi ben Rabbi Yossi, there can't be a way to maintain that you need only a Re'iyah of two greases, only a Kesef of two greases. Obviously, if there was no Re'iyah Bein HaShemashah, you need three. In that, I think he's right. Okay, he's right. And what did he hold? He obviously holds more than you hold. You're saying, I agree with him in that case. Okay, agree with him in that case. What case don't you agree with him in? Must be that he himself would have held that even if she was bodekes only in the Bein HaShemashah of Rabbi Yehuda, that would also be enough. He holds bodka to Rabbi Yehuda, but low bodka to Rabbi Yossi, low chayshem. So what is he saying? That Bein HaShemashah to Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Lailia? I don't understand. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra now holds that the Bein HaShemashah of Rabbi Yossi is definitely Lila. The whole point that we understood the Machlokes was that he was quoting Rabbi Yossi, and he was saying, since Rabbi Yossi holds that there's an additional Bein HaShemashah, therefore, you can't be Yotze the Suffolk just by keeping a Moch Dochuk during the entire period of the Bein HaShemashah of Rabbi Yehuda. Now you're turning around and telling me this absurdity that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is quoting Rabbi Yossi as saying that there's no Rabbi Yossi. There's no Bein HaShemashah to Rabbi Yossi. And I'm like, what's going on over here? This is ridiculous. So now Kasha Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Now he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know what? If Rebbe just hadn't said anything, everything would be perfect. So, this thing is below Rebbe. I mean, if we could have avoided Rebbe's confusing statements in this sugya, we could have finished up with this a long time ago. Because then we would just have said, listen, I mean, one case is talking about the Batka to Rebbe Yehuda, below Batka to Rebbe Yossi. Therefore, Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra says, even a kesem muat, meaning less than three, is enough to be goyim azava gedola because it can be split three ways. And in the other case, the second case where he said no, you need to have a kesem meruba that's enough to be split over 3 days. That's talking about kishabotka, bitterabiyuda, ubitterabiyosi. So then everything would be fine. As I pointed out to you earlier, there's nothing confusing about this sugya. The only one who's making it confusing is Rebbe. With his inserted comments. Without him, everything would make perfectly good sense. But now comes along Rebbe, and now we can't say that anymore. Because Rebbe obviously has split it into two cases, in which Rebbe Yehuda himself was willing to go further than I am, me being Rebbe. I'm not willing to go as far as he is, but I am willing to say that at least in one of these cases, Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra would be right. Understand? So you're telling me Rebbe Yehuda ben Agra would have argued even if the Badika is only Rabbi Yehuda? That makes no sense. Answers the Gemara. It still makes sense. However, we need to introduce a new issue. The new issue is, when is Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashah? Is Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashah following Rabbi Yehuda Bein HaShemashah? Or is Rabbi Yossi's Bein HaShemashah the last moment of Rabbi Yehuda's Bein HaShemashah? But it's not that they're arguing in two issues about whether the time after Rabbi Yehuda is Lila or not. They're only arguing in one issue, whether the beginning time of Rabbi Yehuda is still a Suffolk Lila. But the last minute, they agree. I agree with you that last minute, that's the Suffolk Lila, Suffolk Yom. But not the earlier. The earlier is not a Yom, says Rabbi Yossi. That's two ways of understanding it. These two ways of understanding it now explain the two ways that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is now dealing with Rabbi Yossi. There are two Tanoim that are reporting Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra's statement. In each case, Rebbe was reacting to the Tana that was expressing the halacha of Rabbi Yossi l'shitasa. So therefore, it's like this. Trei Tanoi alid to Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Hai Tana Savar, Sholim ben HaShemashah to Rabbi Yehuda, V'hoda Chayu ben HaShemashah to Rabbi Yossi. Look, the way we understood it before is that we have two separate Bein HaShemashah. Therefore, we could question, okay, suppose you kept the Moch Dochuk in the entire time of Rabbi Yehuda, but now you took it out before Rabbi Yossi's time. We've worked out, everything makes sense. But Hai Tana Sama.
One holds 18 minutes and one holds 25 minutes.
No, one holds 18 minutes and one holds 1 minute.
Yeah.
But the question is that 1 minute in the 18 minutes, or is it the 19th minute? That's our shaila.
That's what we thought before.
We thought before the 1 minute was the 19th minute. Now we're saying the 1 minute is the 18th minute. So high time is suffered bin Ashwash to Rabbi Yossi Meshach Shaykh to Rabbi Yehuda. That minute is part of Rabbi Yehuda's. It's included, it's subsumed within Rabbi Yehuda's bin Ashmashas. So therefore, if you hold, like Rabbi Yossi, is obviously Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra who's quoting Rabbi Yossi, Shita obviously holds Rabbi Yossi, and you hold that you need it to be now to be Beidek the entire period of Rabbi Yehuda, okay, so then obviously, by definition, you were already Beidek in Rabbi Yossi. By definition, you were Beidek in Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, he is saying that Kishabotka, if you're Beidek only in Rabbi Yehuda, you were already Beidek in Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, there's no question that she couldn't possibly have had a re-abanish marshes. But if I hold that there are two separate times, and that there's a, after you finish being Beidek the entire Rabbi Yehuda, you still have to worry about another minute of Rabbi Yossi's, now it's not going to help you. Say, well, what do you mean? She was Bodekas the entire Ben HaShemashas. Yes, sir. The problem is that the Ben HaShemashas that you're calling Ben HaShemashas Rabbi Yossi is not the Ben HaShemashas Rabbi Yossi. It's really the Ben HaShemashas only of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, since she was not Bodekas the next part, I hold you can't agree with him on that. If she was not Bodekas in the next part, then she'd have, you'd have to be Chayish even for a Ria Mu'etet. Aliba de Rabbi Aliba de whom? Aliba de Rabbanim, not Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Which Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra or Rabbi Yehuda who argues with Rabbi Yossi?
Rabbi.
So Rabbi was saying, Aliba the Tana that holds this Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra. Namely, that Rabbi Yossi is included, is separate from Rabbi Yehuda ben Hashmashas. So now everything works out. The Rabbanu would never have argued in a case where there was a Safek ben Hashmashas. Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra would never have argued in a case where there was no Safek. They're arguing whether Lamaisa was a Bedika during ben Hashmashas or not. What is that argument dependent on? When ben Hashmashas is. But now comes along another Tana b'shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra to discuss the case Kipshutai when you were Beidek the entire Ben HaShemashas. This Tana holds, by definition, the entire Ben HaShemashas would always cover Rabbi Yossi anyway. Right? So therefore, you have to now distinguish, it comes along Rebbe and says, look, if you were Taka Beidek the entire Ben HaShemashas, okay, then it makes sense to say you need a shear. However, that isn't the case. Because it happens to be that according to Rabbi Yossi, the Shir Ben HaShemashas begins after the time that you were Beidek. And therefore, I would agree in a case where you were Beidek by Rabbi Yossi, but certainly not in a case where you were Beidek the entire Rabbi Yehuda, because that doesn't cover the entire Rabbi Yossi. That's all. So we're arguing what Rabbi Yossi is. So there's two machlokas in here. In the beginning, we saw there was a machlokas. What is Ben HaShemashas? Is it the 18 minutes or is it the 1 minute? I'm using the shiurim loosely. I mean, Rabbi Yossi says it's clarifying. The next machlokas is, when is Rabbi Yossi's Ben HaShemashas? Based on that, we can now understand everything that Rabbi is saying and everything that Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra is saying without it being a machlokas, because there's two approaches. Different Tanayim understood the concept of Rabbi Yossi in different ways and quoted Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra in Rabbi Yossi Shita in two contradictory ways. It is contradictory. There's no question about it.
If the attendant is included in the 18 and there's no way you can be voting the whole 18 without covering...
Without automatically covering all your bases. So either you covered all your bases or you covered none of your bases. There's no way to split it the way we did earlier. Turn it up on it. Araya Kesem. So now we have another Shaila. We know that by the Kesem we were Chayish Lemafreya from the point of Kibus. Right? Because we said, look, I mean, the Dam obviously is coming from her. We haven't found it, so who knows? I mean, we have to be Chayish all the way back there. Say the Rabbana. So that means that Araya Keser is Betama Atzma, so she is Tameya, meaning that anything that she touched, doesn't matter if it's Chulin Kachim. And she's Tameya Kachim Lamafreya, all the way back to the last time that she washed this Kaluk, and she knows this Kesem wasn't on it. Divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, no, let's not exaggerate over here. This Shlemi, you want to be Machmir Lagabe, Kachim, no, okay, Kachim Mitama. But when you say that she herself is viewed as Anita the whole time, I mean, Rabbi Isai, let's be reasonable. If this woman actually had a Re'iyah, she finds real Dam now. So what would we say? How far back should she be to Tameya? Meyes Lies? That's the way we decide. You're going to tell me that we're going to be more machmon a kesem than an actual re'iyah, where the kesem itself is only an extension min rabbanon. That doesn't make any sense. You can't be more machmon on her on a kesem than you're going to be on the re'iyah. Shalo yehekit ma chamur meri'iyata. Asks the Gemara, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, well, what are you talking about? You yourself just said that if you're going to be willing to be Batame more than the Re'iyah. You said, Lagabe Kachim, that she should be Batame for 3 months, because that was the last time that she checked her Chalur. Why did you say to yourself, how could I be more Machma on the Kesem than a Re'iyah? So that logic, you're not being consistent with. Ba'amatsinu kitmach hamur meri'ata, according to you also, Lenin Kachim. So obviously, Reb Shimon ben Elazar could not have said what he's reported to have said. It must have been that what he said was like this. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, even when it comes to kachin, where you want to be very machmir, you can't be inconsistent by being more machmir on a ketam than you would be on a re'iyah. Therefore, af kachim eino metama shalo yehi kitma chamur meri'iyata l'chol davar. There's no way that in any issue, whether the guy be kachim or whether the guy be chulin, there's no way that we could be more machmir on a ketam than in a re'iyah. That's absurd. Now, the question is like this. This is a fascinating issue. Suppose after the re'iyah of a ketam, within the next 24 hours, she has a real re'iyah. The real re'iyah, we were willing to say, extends backwards 24 hours. But if that's the case, the most logical thing in the world is to say that the ketam that she saw 24 hours ago was actually the hofa'ah of this re'iyah. And in that case, it would be ridiculous to say this ketam should be metama l'mafreya back, even according to Rebbe, to go back another 2 weeks. We know why she was back a bleeding then. We know clearly she was bleeding then, because within 24 hours she really bled. And we have it then from the beginning of the Masechta that when she really bleeds, the assumption is that 24 hours before there was dam that was there, gradually making its way out. So isn't it obviously now that the gradual making its way out left a stain on her begad? So now it's all very clear to us what happened. We no longer have to be metame to kiss him backwards, even according to Rabbi. Therefore, says the Gemara, Ra'ata ketem, says the Braisa, Ra'ata ketem, v'acharkach, Ra'ata dam, tolakit mamiri iatami eitlein, divrei Rabbi. As long as it's within 24 hours, which is the shi'ur, that we would be willing to entertain the notion of the dam being present prior to re'iyah, then that becomes the source of her ketem. Reb Shimon ben Elazar on that? Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, well, let's not talk about 24 hours. Let's talk about the day. If on the same day that she finds a ketem, she also bleeds, then you can be samech that this ketem is from there. Omar Rebbe, nir'in dvarav midvarai? I think the truth is, to be honest, he makes more sense than I make. Because ani umetakna, he makes things better for her. He's being makel on her. After all, ksamim is only takana rabbana. We ought to follow the makel, not me. I'm being machmir on her. Va'ani ma'afta. So it's like, well, what is Rebbe talking about? Just the opposite. Rebbe is the one who's making life easier on her. Rebbe is saying, anytime in the next 24 hours, that cancels the problem of her ketan. And Rav Shimon says, no, we can't do that. It has to be on the same day. So he says, he's being more machmon. This doesn't make any sense.
Ma'afta means
machmon? Ma'afta means messer up, pervert. Yes, the more mitakna. He's helping her? Ivuti ma'afita, I understand. He's making things much more difficult for her. Omer Ravina Apo. Says Ravina, you know what? Say the other way around. Say that Rebbe said, and I make more sense, because after all, I am making things easier for her, and he's making things messed up for her. So it's to suggest that maybe Apoch might mean the other way, that since we're being machmir, Ksamim, he makes more sense because he more machmir. Okay. But the way we said is the way Rashi learned. Rav Nachman says, no, you're not thinking about the full implications of this. The truth is la'olam lo tepo. Keep the way that we read it before. And Rebbe was indeed saying something that makes sense. He was saying like this: Hu mitaken hilchoteha lidei ziva, v'ani me'aved hilchoteha lidei ziva. The truth is that when it comes to the din of zivas, he is actually being makel. Because let's say that the next day, within 24 hours, but the next day, she's Royadam. So now, according to me, the ketan that she saw was actually the beginning of this Ria yesterday. Oh. If it's yesterday, so for the next 7 days, she is Anita. But the moment that she'll see Dam on the eighth day, that Dam is now going to start her Zivas. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, she sees now her Re'ia the next day, we are not going to extend it backwards, because it needed to be on the same day to extend it backwards. And therefore, on the eighth day, according to him, she's still in the middle of her Nidais, so he's making life easier on her by extending her Nidais a day longer, and therefore avoiding the problems of Zivas that often can come up towards the end of her period where she still might be bleeding. And according to me, it's going to create a problem of Zivas. Therefore, makes more sense that we should paskin like him, really, than like me. Okay, I just must point out to you that this means, the way I just explained it, that according, and this is Rashi's pshat, that according to Rashi, when we're saying we're going to be Tela Kitma Briyata, that we're actually going to start counting her Nidos earlier. Remember that until now, we always assumed that Ketan is only a Chumrah. You can't be Makil on a Ketan to say, well, let's start her Nidos a day earlier and finish it up a day earlier. Because since Midiraisa, only her Re'iya was a Re'iya. So then that means her Nidus really didn't start until the next day. But the way we're explaining it now, Rebbe is taking for granted that if you're going to be Taylor, the Ketan, and the Re'iya, then the Re'iya began a day earlier. And we're going to view this Ketan as a Re'iya. How can you view a Ketan as a Re'iya? Notice that this seems to be consistent with the problem we've been having in Rashi all along. Just like the Ramban tied it against Rashi yesterday. How could you have a Havamina that you're going to bring a Karban on a Re'iyah's Kesem, where a Kesem, by definition, can never be a Re'iyah? And Rashi insists you would have a Suffolk Midiraisa, because your only Suffolk is where did the Dam come from? So you have the same problem. Rashi is treating, again, the Kesem as a real Re'iyah if it was followed by a Re'iyah. Even Lekula, I'll leave it a Rebbe, to allow the counting of the Nidus before. See, your Tosus stands on Rashi. I don't understand what you're talking about. You can't rely on a Ketan Lekula to start counting the Nidus earlier and finishing it earlier. The most you can do is be Machmer because of a Ketan. It's only a Takana Darabana. Therefore, Tosus doesn't like this whole approach. We'll see the next piece. Again, we're going to have the same type of problem.
Yeah. Reading Ketan more seriously, saying it's a Gula of Midiraisa instead of, you're not actually making it to Kandura, you're saying, was the real Riyah, and that's what Jesus was saying.
Correct. As long as it was followed by a Riyah. Now here, further, Machlokas, in Rashi and Tosfos, that reflects the same din, is on the next piece. Boy minerib zera mirabas. Samim. Tzrichim hefsek tyra olo. Do you need to make a hefsek tyra on a ketan? Now, Rashi learns that the question over here is subsequent to the Re'ias HaKesem, where now there was also a Re'iyah, continuation of the case that we had before. If, according to Rebbe, we were willing to allow the 7 days to begin in the day of the Ketan, is that only where you made a Hefsek Tyra for the Ketan on the seventh day? Meaning that she herself obviously viewed now her own Nidus as beginning on the seventh day, beginning on the first day, the day of the Ketan. Or do we say that no, even if she didn't make a Bedika, we still count her Re'iyah from that day? This is how Rashi works. Tosus again goes wild and says, this is insane. What does that do with her? I don't understand what do you mean. Did she count it? Anyway, we're not counting from the first day, obviously. None of this makes any sense, he says at all. Now look, you're going to allow her to be Tovelis on the seventh day if she makes a Hefsek Tyra on the seventh day from a Kesem, which she had a Vadai Re'iyah afterwards? Who would have allowed such a thing? Besides which, the case over here where there was a Re'iyah is going to prove whether you need a Hefsek Tyra for a Kesem. If there was a Re'iyah, of course you need a Hefsek Tyra for the Re'iyah.
But a day later.
So, I mean, even if we're entertaining the need of a Hefsek Tyra for a Kesem, you can't bring the Ariah from a case where there was a Riyah attached to the Kesem, which is the only place where we're going to discuss it. Therefore, Tosfos understands this question as having nothing to do with anything that Rashi was talking about. He says the question over here is something else. Since we've allowed you to be makel on your Kesem when there is a Riyah, to say that the Kesem should be dependent on the Re'iyah and should, well, doesn't go back to be Metama L'Mafreya. Did there need to be a Bedika between the time that you washed the Beged and the Re'iyah now? The Matias HaKesem, that's our question. Because in order to make this second Re'iyah the source of the Kesem, maybe you should have to have a Hefsek Tyra between the time that you needed to make some Bedika between that time that you had done the actual washing in order not to separate between it. So the only time that we're going to say, maybe, according to Rebbe, that we're willing to be Tyra the Kesem, Beriyata, is Dafka in a case where you made a Hefsek Tyra between the time that you washed this clothing the last time and the time you found the Ketan. So there you've separated between the two periods by making a Hefsek Tyra, even though normally that's not going to be enough. But since over here we're trying to discover when the Re'iyah began, and we're looking at it in terms of the Re'iyah that comes after the Ketan, let's at least establish that there was no Re'iyah from the time that you had washed the chaluk in the washing machine. That's all that we're asking over here. Do you need a Hefsek Tyra between the Ketem and the Kibbutz? Going backwards, not going forwards? Not at the end of the 7 days? What the heck would a Hefsek Tyra be doing at the end of the 7 days since you couldn't go to the mikveh anyway? It's absurd, says Tosfos. The whole thing is ridiculous. We're talking about over here only backwards, between the time now that you want to be makel on her. At least maybe Rebbe was saying it could be makel if you know that there wasn't a Riyah before. She checked herself and she found that she was tyra. That's the pshat. Because very, very different ways of approaching the circuit. Anyway, so Reb Zera asks Reb Asi, he says, do you need a Havzik Torah or not? Ishtik v'lo amar lei v'lo min, he wouldn't answer him. Zimnin ashkechei d'yosef v'gamar, there was a time that he found him saying over the following mimer. He was saying over, Tolak yitmadri atami eit la'eit divrei Rebbe. He quoted Rebbe as saying that you have 24 hours to assume that the ketem is related to the subsequent re'iyah. The omere shlakish v'hushabatka, which according to Rashi means that's only if she was bodekas herself on the seventh day from the ketem and therefore treated the ketem as the beginning of the re'iyah. According to Tosfos, v'hushabatka means she was bodekas herself before she had the re'iyah, before she found the ketem. Rabbi Yochanan amar af pi shelo batka. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, no, even if she wasn't bodekas on the seventh day, she was only bodekas on the eighth day, it's also good. Omar lei, oh, said Rabbi Zera, now, to Rabbi Asi. Oh, so in other words, you're telling me that there definitely is an issue of a hefsek tarah for a ketem, huh? Because, and that's the machlokas, when? Between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Omar lei, ooh, you know something, you're right. That's true. So Rabbi Zera said, hey man, I've been asking you this question. I've asked you this question and you keep being quiet. Velo amedli velo mina. You never said a word about it. Now all of a sudden you're saying, oh yeah, sure. How come it was never, oh yeah, sure before? Dilma agav shitvacha atyalacha? Is it that in the course of saying this you suddenly realize that that's the meaning, and you didn't recognize that before. Amalayim, yes, that's true. Agav shitvoi, actually, it hit me as I was saying over the sikh, it hit me. Of course, that means that we're making an assumption that you need a hafzik tara, yeah, inakinami. I didn't realize it before. You see, this was a hezber now, so they wouldn't get confused in a Barnea way. That's exactly that, Shiloh. I'm always asking Barnea, did you just realize that, or you're pretending that it was this way the whole time? If he says, no, I could just realize, at least I understand that I'm not crazy. I mean, I know a minute ago you were, but it's very fascinating to see that that was the Shiloh here.
Can we stop now?
Yeah, I think we better. We've been going on a long time.
Shetev?
Flow. Through the flow, you now came to understand it.
Gemara says, Adar, Rosh Chodesh, Adar, the first day of Adar, please bring 100 shekels or more. Thank you.
100 shekels?
2 months, Shvat and Adar.
Hey, rent.
Pay rent. Shvat was free.
It was not.
Mm-hmm.